You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debts, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean a portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-218-7170. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-218-7170. That's 800-218-7170. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-218-7170 today. My name is Bradley Jones.
I'm Andrew Moldenhauer.
And I'm Andy Hubert.
And this is not a movie review podcast, but a podcast where we're trying to talk about a movie we haven't seen in a long time. But that's not this podcast. We're talking about a movie what we saw. And we saw, what was it? What's the full name of this thing? Hold on. Solo colon, a Star Wars story.
It's Solo colon? It's about a single colon?
Yes.
Okay.
Another year, another Star Wars.
Here it is.
What a time to be alive.
It's only been like 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now,
we didn't play our song.
Yeah. Do we want to play the music?
Okay. It's okay. We missed it. We can go back if you have it. I don't know if you had it queued up or not.
Can you start again from the ad?
No. Let's just go from the music.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Were there two or three bad guys in Home Alone? That forgetful fish in Finding Nemo. Join us as we're watching films. See what we remember and what memories we kill. Let's start the show. Here we go. This is what we remember.
So just like how Solo, a Star Wars story, started with a rocky start, our podcast started with a rocky start.
That's a superior segue. That's the kind of quality you tune in for.
I had at least 45 seconds of listening to our intro to think of that segue.
No, it was classic.
That was like 45 seconds of an ad.
That was
the beginning.
Stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey.
You should do those, Brad. You have that voice.
Yeah, well, we need the ads, but the selling out... It's fun. I love it.
I have no problems.
Like, yeah. I don't know what these are saying. I will sell all the way
Let's
out.
Always sell out
zero
all the time.
Problems with
That's
it.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got to talk about this movie.
So hold
there's
on.
Not a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Oh my God. There's probably a ton to talk about.
I really have like 20 minutes of conversation.
Okay. We got 20 minutes of conversation.
20 whole minutes.
The hottest of takes.
So on our last Star Wars episode.
Uh-huh. Which was Rogue One?
No.
Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi.
That came out
After
in December. Rogue One?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
They're doing
a mixed up and paddywhacked.
Yeah. An
Give
episode, and then they're doing like a Star Wars story. Then an episode.
Yeah. I'm going to quote Brad. We said, Brad, how you feel about the new Solo movie coming out? And you were like, I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah.
You were very emphatic about
not caring.
I think,
though, Brad doesn't care about movies way, 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 way in advance. He just wants to see the movie.
I just want
to
see the
movie. I think that's what I'm starting to notice.
That's right. Not what he explicitly said why he doesn't care.
Oh.
And it was because...
Shoot that down.
I'm about to eat my words.
it was because there would be zero stakes in this movie.
Yeah. I remember him saying
that. He said there would be no stakes because you know Han Solo is alive and well.
He meant a flank steak.
Ooh,
or like a ribeye.
Oh, that makes sense. There weren't any of those.
No.
No, I meant like a tent stake, really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like this tentpole movie that had no stakes.
Although
it did have stakes.
It did have stakes.
It did have stakes.
It had things in it.
Yeah. Some of the elements were confusing, though.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize that they're setting this up for a sequel, maybe?
This is the Star Wars universe.
Sort of? It is in the universe, yeah.
This is what makes me excited about this movie, is that it's opening up the area between this film and Rogue One.
Yeah.
And now looking back on it, I'm kind of upset that Rogue One like butted right up against Episode 4 because they didn't really get to make new things happen.
So then this stuff is before
Rogue
One.
There's a lot of new concepts in this film.
Yeah.
I think that's being a little understated with people talking about this movie.
Yeah.
There's new things happening. We've got Coaxium here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got the Crimson Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
We got the big old hero. Spoilers from this part on in the podcast. If you haven't seen Star Wars, wait. Let me say it again. Solo colon, a Star Wars story.
Uh-huh. Solo colon.
Darth Maul comes back, baby.
He does.
Oh, he comes back with a big bang.
He's like, give me them robot legs. I want us to live.
Did he steal those from General Grievous? That's a deep cut for Star Wars fans.
He also,
he's aged
a little bit. Yeah, he definitely aged.
He's got a few more horns on him.
Look, you get cut in half, it's going to change you.
It's
going to
take
right?
some age
you know?
Off of it. Like, did he get cut in half, too? Like, was it below the mall or
above
the mall?
The mall. There's no mall.
The mall's gone.
The mall's gone.
Oh no. It's like the 2000s. All the malls are closing.
After that moment, it got really dark for him. Bad.
Oh man. This movie to me felt like I think I actually mentioned this already to people, but like a Fast and Furious, a Star Wars story.
Yeah,
it has cars in it.
Yeah, it's
cars
like a it's like an Italian job.
It opens with a car chase.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a weird car chase too.
It is a weird car chase.
The car didn't even have wheels.
That's the car from
Star Wars.
Aviary
car hovers. I get it. But he's like driving down a bowling alley in that one scene. And I was like, "There's nowhere to go. Where are you going?
Is that the same vehicle that Luke owns on Tatooine?
No,
it looks very similar.
It's similar.
It's the same type of. That'd be like, now the car Luke drove had wheels. This car also had wheels. Were they the same car, Brad? That's how ridiculous your question is.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Did you even watch Solo colon a Star Wars story?
We all watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this movie.
I did.
Yeah. It's good.
I think this movie's getting a bad rap all around.
I don't know if it's getting a bad rap. I think it's getting.
Oh, I bet The Last Jedi got worse rap than this.
I feel like what people are saying about this movie is strange.
Expectations for Last Jedi were huge.
This is my favorite of
this
the new Star Wars.
I don't think the expectations were huge, but they knew they could just cash in like right away on this storyline.
See, I feel so many people were making such a big to do. I think like about the box office because they assumed that you throw the word Star Wars, it's going to make an absurd amount. It's still made.
Deadpool 2 made more
a buttload of money. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the number one movie,
but it wasn't the number one. I think a lot of people expected it to be, but I think my exact words leaving the theater was this was a fun movie.
That is the most.
The core essence of this film.
It's fun.
This is the After Earth of the Star Wars movies. I say that reference because poor Will Smith, a week after that movie came out on Jimmy Kimmel, said it was the first time he's ever been in a movie that didn't make number one. It was the number three movie.
That's sad.
Will Smith had a little puppy dog, sad thing. And that's how I feel like Solo Colon Star Wars story has. Nobody wants to see it.
Yeah, this was the closest. I think I actually mentioned in the Rogue One episode that we did that I like the Star Wars bits you get to see where it's just people completely unrelated to all the important characters existing in the Star Wars universe.
You brought that up in every episode.
And I wanted it. And
he's going to keep bringing it up, too.
Yeah. This is the closest we got, and it's with a Solo.
There's going to be a movie that has that, and you're going to still have wanted it
somehow.
Of
course. You always want more.
The good thing about this is you get to see someone starting from the bottom and
like Drake.
And getting to the top.
He's down there.
Yeah.
Well, he's not quite at the bottom. He's got some. He's got some skills to pay the bills.
He does have skills, but like he learned those by being
that
at
was
the bottom.
One of the interesting things I actually really liked about the movie is I was expecting this film to show us how Han Solo like becomes Han Solo in terms of the character he is.
Didn't quite get there.
No, mm-mm. He is Han Solo. I think from the start of this movie,
I would disagree.
This movie shows him learning how to make that work. Like, I feel like this movie is showing him like, I can actually pull it off if I get better at my skills.
I think this is a softer Han Solo. He's all lovey dovey with Kira.
He has a lot of ambitions and hope, and And I think this lifestyle is exciting for him. By the time you see him in number four, it works because by number four, he's been doing this for way too long, trying to outrun all of these bounty hunters and these debts.
And think of the start of Empire. When he leaves, he jumps ship to get after he gets paid and just ditches those guys on the Planet Hoth. That's the heart and soul that we eventually get to. Wow. Owen Wilson's here on the podcast.
Wow.
I should have been casted as Han Solo.
The guy that was cast as Han Solo was amazing. Yeah, I loved him.
Alden Ehrenreich?
I want him.
Incorrectly?
He needs to team up with Ansel Elgort so we can have Alden Ehrenreich, Ansel Elgort co-starring in films.
Yeah, yes. The worst press films. Junket ever.
We got some Thandie Newton up in here for a hot second. Woody Harrelson.
Amelia Clark.
It kind of disappears. I forget that Woody Harrelson's even in this movie while I was watching
it. He's really good.
And he's in almost every scene. Yeah,
he's so good every time.
He just kind of blends into the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does.
He fits in really well.
He does fit.
And he's supposed to be, I guess, where Han Solo ends up in 4, 5, and 6?
Basically-ish. It's sort of like...
He evolves into them.
Yeah. Explain that.
He's like the father figure. Of Han Solo.
I mean, you look at Woody Harrelson's character at the start of this film, and it's basically where Han Solo ends up.
He's already a smuggler. He's got a group of bad ne'er-do-wells.
He's in a lot of debt.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
He's working for Jabba, or is going to work for Jabba, or he's just work.
Yeah, what was he doing?
What's
by
that guy's name? Paul Bettany's name?
Oh, Paul Bettany's. I just called him Paul Bettany the whole
time. Dryden Voss. I wrote it down.
I just love Paul Bettany in anything all the time.
Oh, the guy with the face. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like someone like forked him. Face.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did actually. Yeah.
Why is that from a lightsaber? What
I don't know. Bear attack?
Maybe it's just a style choice. A Yeti? He's like a tattoo. He's just like.
It was
fork my
wasn't
face.
It pulsating at one. Wasn't it pulsating at one moment?
Like
Paul Bettany
the lines? Like the scars?
Yeah,
whatever?
Yeah.
I thought they were.
Maybe it was just a flash of light or something.
Maybe.
I thought it was like some kind of alien or something.
So that
I don't know.
My one complaint with this movie is the lighting.
Ooh, it's hard to see this. I said that to Andy. He didn't have a problem with it.
No, this film is too dark all the time.
When they're inside of the Millennium Falcon, it looks great.
Yes.
Like I can see everybody. Things are going on.
Yeah.
The movie opens. There's smoke and fog everywhere.
Yep.
And then he's immediately doused in blue light when he's in that sewer. We can start talking about the movie from the beginning.
Well, in the beginning, when he is with that gang, it's like it's basically like Oliver Twist.
Too hard to see.
Yeah,
that.
It is like Oliver Twist.
It's Oliver Twist.
It's just a poorly lit
And
movie
he's like
overall.
Living in the sewers or something like that. So I think it's dark for that reason. But it is kind of dark because you can't see.
It was like
see...
a cave of some kind. Was,
yeah, something like that.
Like,
but you can't really see this creature that basically is like running the show.
He
should have
gone
like
down underground or something like that instead of just hiding out in an alcove.
Yeah. Were they just on like a Empire
that's
planet?
That's the shipbuilding.
They're on Corellia.
Planet
that's
of Corellia.
Long-term Han Solo canon.
They make Star Destroyers there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like one of the big shipbuilding planets.
Got it. Did not know that. Good to know.
Yep.
He has stolen some coaxium.
Yes, which is a brand new thing to the Star Wars.
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
It's what enables hyperspace travel.
It's like, the fuel they use for hyperspace travel. Mm-hmm.
It's worth a ton of money. Just like what they were saying, just like one little thing could have gotten them on a ship off of the planet.
Yeah.
And like a house and stuff.
At the end of the movie, he gets one little vial of it and it's supposed to be enough to buy a ship, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Stuff's expensive, and they're stealing a whole buttload of it at the end of the film.
I actually really enjoyed that, like, the central, heist Italian job part of the movie is going to this place to steal the coaxium. Like, their place they're going to in, like, Star Wars universe is, the Kessel Spice Mines. So they're like, oh, we'll go to Kessel to steal the stuff. They're not stealing spice, they're stealing stuff under that. They're like, we're not even going to deal with like what it's known for. Like, completely new underneath the spices, also the fuel stuff. Steal it. I actually really liked it because it was not the direction you would expect it to go if you're like a big Star Wars person. Well, I wouldn't expect like everyone to be like, oh, Kessel Spice Mines, unless you're
a weirdo.
Well,
they first have to get, they try to get some coaxial off a train.
Yes. The train sequence was fun.
I liked it a lot.
A snowpiercer-esque train going through the mountains.
Yep.
I would have liked there to be the characters are constantly trying to just like swoop in and grab the stuff at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't
very
develop them
planned.
Very well.
Doesn't seem like
and
a smart
yes,
job.
That whole situation was not planned well at
no.
all.
Yeah.
seemed like a lot of work, and to just to like go down there with your bare hands to remove latches from a railroad car, that
it's
seems
like probably
hard.
Frozen.
You can't use like magnets or some sort of Star Wars technology. Can't a brother get a lightsaber and just chop one off?
It's not that kind of story, brother.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's Solo colon a Star Wars story.
I really enjoyed the train heist. I thought it was fun. Again, part of the fun movie aspect is it was just like goofy, like, this happens in Star Wars. Like, why wouldn't it? Like, mm-hmm. people on a planet making a train heist.
So basically the plan is to get the, coaxium. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to go to this train to steal it, which is the first step. Obviously, that doesn't go well. During that whole sequence, Brad and I talked a little bit about the lady that blew herself up.
Thandie Newton.
Yes, from
who
is currently kicking up
in Westworld. I didn't understand why she ended up doing that.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
I think it did. She knew the stakes of getting the shipment was if they don't get the shipment, like the crime lord guy was going to kill him. And she's like, look, if I can't make it, at least he's not going to get killed by crime lord
guy. I think
they
couldn't afford her because she was off shooting Westworld. That's what I think happened.
Yeah, that could be true. It could be.
I only got like 5 days of this time. Otherwise, I got to go back to set.
Yeah, it's a 5-day
role. Do what you want. And she does great with it. She kills it.
Yeah, she was very good. I enjoyed all the characters from that.
Rio,
like the little
pilot guy?
With the, yeah,
John Favreau did that
voice. He was great. I loved him. He was a great character.
Wait, who's this?
Rio,
the little pilot guy with four arms.
He has four arms.
Little fuzzy dude.
He looks like
vaguely remember him. I vaguely remember him.
I feel like
he was great.
That is an endemic.
He was fun.
The endemic problem with this movie is that, like, akin to it being kind of a Fast and Furious Star Wars story, is that you're like at the end of it, you're like, that was a good time, but I feel like it wasn't necessarily memorable.
It's a little mini movie here.
Yeah.
It's not
earth-shattering. It's not a groundbreaking film in the Star Wars universe. It was just a fun Star Wars story to tell. And I feel like a lot of people expected something different. I really like what they did with this movie, but I feel like a lot of people might have been disappointed because they expected another Rogue One where it's this massive story.
The tone
story.
Was still more serious.
Yeah,
Rogue
very
One
big tone and very big scope. And that's not this movie.
So, like, the problem that I have with it is I think the story, like the plot of this heist, them doing it, they fail once, they succeed the second time. Mm-hmm. I think that is really interesting, but the movie felt more like it should have been a vehicle for like explaining Han Solo and Lando a little bit more. And I think they worked around some of that and they didn't really get into who those people were as much as I thought they would.
They had to balance
between the story and the character development.
I liked the way they did it, though, because I was worried that it'd be too full of references to things. Everyone knows I hate references I'm not the one making them.
You got Lando in the movie, but what does he really do in the movie? He offers them the ship. He takes them there. He doesn't help them, and then he leaves early. And that's all you get of him.
Yeah.
He also falls in love with that robot.
He does.
I was going to ask you guys what you thought about that robot.
With them robots. You thought it was Tilda Swinton.
I thought the same thing.
But we're just British-izing.
Yeah.
It's just Phoebe Waller-Bridge is her name.
Yeah.
She's from a few shows.
I looked that up afterwards and was surprised it was not. I assumed it was Tilda Swinton as well.
Yeah.
He's as tall as Tilda Swinton is, I would imagine.
Yeah,
but
probably. Like, I feel like that character is very divisive. A lot of people seem to just love it or hate it. I'm like,
she just talked too much.
I like
too many lines.
I thought it was goofy.
There were a couple
fun
lines where I was like,
she
that's a little
too many lines up in
on
there.
The nose.
I can see that.
But she's all about robot rights, which is a concept that hasn't been brought up in Star Wars.
No.
Which is what I'm trying to say. Like, we just bring some things
I
up.
Will say that sequence where she was giving decisions to those robots.
That was great.
And they started taking over.
That, so funny.
That scene was the best scene in any Star Wars movie.
At the end of it.
I don't know, for your robot brother. And they're just like gonking on the consoles. Like, that was hilarious. That was
amazing.
They're
like, what is going on in there?
It's just getting crazier and crazier in this control room.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
But earlier in the movie, they're filming an episode of BattleBots, and she goes and stops that from happening. Clint Howard guest cameos in there.
Which is... it's fun.
It's fun. See Clint Howard.
You
want to
see it?
Yeah.
It's another Ron Howard movie.
I want to see him.
But I was mad.
Put
I was
his
like,
brother in
BattleBots is a great show. Why would you stop filming? Cut it out. Keep watching.
Those are some fun sequences.
Yes.
So Lando's a cheater. He's a dirty, dirty
He's
cheater.
He's a scoundrel. They're all scoundrels.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
What are they playing? Texas Pete?
They're playing Sabak.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, Andy Texas was very Pete. Confused. Because it was like a very serious...
He's like, I got a 12, and you got an ace, and I got a frisbee. You know?
It's not like a scene from Rounders, but like you know how to play poker, or at least you have like a general idea of it is. Mm. With this game, you're not sure what's happening.
Sabak is like a long-time Star Wars staple. It's been in like a million games now, this stuff. Like,
okay.
It's kind of weird. Like You get positive and negative cards, which is the green and red, and like the whole point is to try and like balance to zero with your hand or something.
You're gonna use the rest of our time on this podcast to explain this game.
That's as far as I understand it. Like, you can play it in the Knights of the Old Republic games, and some people got way into it. Like, poker levels of into
so
it.
So it's a real thing.
It's a real
thing.
They were
making something up, and I was like, this is ridiculous.
Well, they did make it up at one
point. Yeah,
they did.
They
did.
But this is a long-time rules. Star Wars thing. Yes, that people
who
are big
ridiculous.
Into it would,
like, anybody, most people going into this are not gonna know about this card game, and they're just gonna be sitting there going, like, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, you too much time to. On the montaging of it.
They did. I was like, just show like one hand.
Yeah, just show one hand.
Like,
I'll win one hand and then call it a day.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed. I thought they did enough to where you understand that it's basically space poker.
Or like have a character explain like the basics of the rules before you start the game, because they just kind of start it.
I didn't think I would not love
playing
like
it,
that.
And I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
See, I don't think you needed to. I think it was. I think
you gotta have one character is like, what is happening here?
I don't want that.
It should have been
what is
like more overly complicated. It would have.
I think it would have felt like too much forced exposition about how the game works. I don't need to know. I just need to know that
there could have been like one end goal. It's like, if you get 5 green ones, you win, Han. And then you see him get like 4 green ones. Then Lando has 5.
We need to be in on it. Just a tiny bit,
just
at
a teeny
least.
Bit.
Nah, I disagree.
Or, no, you do.
Or they have to cut down the amount of time in the
this
game.
This is kind of an interesting thing, because I'm the one that's like, I don't... You
already
I'm
know
saying,
how to play
yeah,
it.
That's
it
true.
Seems like a
I'm
waste
one,
of time.
I would know more. I do know more about the game, so I'm the one that's like, you don't need to explain it. But yeah. You're right, yeah.
We need to be on... Yeah. In
are the red ones good? Are the blue ones good? I don't know. They keep pushing in jewelry into the
hand. Right, you could have just been like, a good hand has 3 red cards, and like you see Han Solo, and he has like 3 green cards or something like that. And he's like, oh, well, this is not going to go well for me. It's just something. I don't know.
But yeah.
Or I'm like, okay, I get it. He's going to lose.
Also, more aliens like falling out of the game would have been fun. And then just seeing like Lando and Han one-on-one at the end.
Yeah.
Like, that would have made it more interesting. Mm-hmm. That place is too crowded to be like this underground secret gambling place. Plus, they already have that casino that they can, you know, go after.
Yeah.
That we've seen in episode 8.
Last Jedi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Canto Bight.
It's hard watching a card game sequence in a movie. It's always so slow sometimes, and I'm like, ugh.
It's easy to do it wrong. Rounders, I feel like, is the only movie that I enjoy watching.
It's fun.
People playing cards on screen. And you always walk that fine line between, like...
Maverick. Maverick. That's a sweet part. The end of Maverick. That's a good movie.
Was he cheating that movie? They're cheaters, right?
There is someone who's a cheater. The same kind of... card up your sleeve trick thingy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I would always be worried about like managing to produce like some Quantum of Solace level, like terrible card play. Or is it Casino Royale?
Casino Royale. Yeah. It was
one of the dumbest poker scenes of all time.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Very bad.
So I'm always wary of card scenes in movies in general, but I think it went well in this. But you're right. As someone who understood the game better, it made sense to me. But for you guys,
Going back to the train sequence, the Cloud Riders show up.
Yes.
They're a new group of people.
That is something I want to talk about, too.
What are the Cloud Riders?
You don't know for a long time because they're always wearing gear and, like, helmets.
You think they're aliens, for sure.
Yeah. Well,
Which I'm okay with,
with
the reveal, but the reveal needs to make sense.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mind it. This was another thing where, I harp about this all the time, but I appreciate when movies don't bother to explain certain things. They just say, like, don't worry about it. Just this is the way the world is and keep going. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what these guys are like. Hey, did you consider those guys? Be like, eh, they're probably not going to show up. And then they show up. They never bother talking about them really until you get to the end where it becomes important.
You think they could have struck a bargain while they were flying that coaxium into that mountain? It wouldn't be like, whoa, hold on. We're not going to end up with anything. How about we just stop what we're doing right here and split this stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not valuable to anybody destroyed, especially when we find out that
plus there's
got to
be a ton more in there.
I think it was just that one train
car.
It was just the...
So, and then the reveal later on when she takes off the helmet, it's like, oh, she's like this 18-year-old girl.
Enfys
Enfist?
Yeah. Nest. I'm going to call her Empty Nest from here on out.
I was chuckling because I did watch the Red Letter Media review for this, and I had the exact same thought they did when they were in. That it was like a 12-year-old Maya Rudolph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She looks exactly like a younger Maya Rudolph.
And my first thought was, oh, that's Woody Harrelson and the girl's daughter.
That'd have been great.
And they don't have a good relationship. And she's constantly trying to steal. And I was like, that makes sense. And then it didn't happen. I was like, oh, man. Why did that happen?
That never occurred to me, and I'm really glad that that was not what they did with it. I would not have liked that.
Really?
I hate in Star Wars that everyone has to be tied to somebody else that we know. And that's something that's why
I just wanted to know why they were constantly just following that group of criminals and just trying to steal their stuff. So in my head, I was like, oh, that's they're related or something.
Yeah, I could see that. I think it's not out of the realm of it could work, but I'm like, if they had been like, oh, it's so and so's.
Too much explanation.
Daughter, I'm like, because everyone has to be family in these movies now.
Yeah.
I'm your father, somehow ruined every subsequent film, I guess. Yeah. I don't understand.
Like, who's that? That person's father.
Oh, yeah. Who's your father then? Doesn't matter.
And then my other gripe was Emilia Clarke, just like, her character, she couldn't. Was she good? Was she bad? Was she good? She was bad.
That was right.
That's the point. Though.
She's bad. She's good though, right?
That's the point. You don't know. Like, I really enjoyed the end because like they have a bunch of double and triple crosses like back and forth, and you're like, man, I don't even know anymore. Like,
she's bad because she kills Paul Bettany. Bad guy.
Why is that a bad thing?
I don't know.
He was a bad guy.
He's a bad guy. Yeah, he's gonna kill them.
You know, she did it for to move up on the ladder.
Well, she yes,
work up with that Darth Maul.
But but she also did it to help Han. Like it's a two thing. You know, two birds, one stone. You can move up that ladder and help your bud. I really liked her character.
I wasn't sure if she was helping though.
I really liked.
I would have liked a different actress.
She was fine.
You're too into you know her from Game of Thrones, or you're too locked in.
Yeah. Over it.
She was okay.
I thought she was fine. I liked that they subverted what I expected from the character. I expected that character to be Han Solo is in love, she gets killed, and it hardens him into his life of crime. And I was
which is probably good they didn't do that.
That's where I thought it was going from, like, the minute the movie started, and they introduced her, and I was like, oh, no, I don't want... And then they subverted that at the end, where she's like, now she's a crime lord. She survived.
Yeah, but
she
Star Wars is always about, like, the reunite. It's like, oh, we're old buddies. Like, everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
It seems like all the important characters survive.
Well, I mean...
For the most part.
Oh, okay.
She broke Han Solo's heart.
She did.
Bummed me out. Mm-hmm. He's all in on loving her forever.
Yes.
And she's using him.
But he had that Leia.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, he gets to where he needs to get to.
But he had enough.
She did care about him in a way because she didn't tell Paul Bettany about the plan. And that was like a big thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. She didn't
Could
tell
just
him.
Be using him again for some reason.
Crisscross.
I like them too.
Crisscross will make you.
The unrefined coaxium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That has to get taken back to.
It was super unrefined.
Uh-huh.
They had to refine it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, which gets, it gets into that sequence where they're going through the.
What's that space cloud all about, Andy?
Yeah.
What's with that giant squid? I want to get to the squid.
Were they going through a wormhole or something? And then they were like, let's go out of the wormhole.
It's
Andy.
It's the mall.
What was that giant monster? It was so cool.
It's the cloud. That's the Kessel Run.
Yeah,
what
so.
Is that?
What is the Kessel Run? Is that the area between. Kessel, is that the purple
and where
stuff?
You run?
Well,
is that the scary space?
I mean, are you talking about, what is it from, a Star Wars lore from the beginning perspective? Because that's some, episode 4 stuff going on. That's, that's the famous, my ship's the one that made the Kessel Run less than 12 parsecs. And that
purple cloud of evil called the Kessel Run?
This was their way of putting to bed arguments that have been happening since the 70s. Where George Lucas didn't pay attention when he was writing this film and used parsecs as a measurement of time when they're actually a measurement of distance, and everyone's been trying to figure out what that meant ever since.
Uh-huh.
So this is their way of finally being like, this is the definitive.
How do they explain it?
Like, is the Kessel Run like the Daytona 500?
They never explained.
Like, explain it to
originally, they never explained what the Kessel Run was. He just said, my ship made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs, which means in the shortest distance, I guess.
Oh.
And so people had all sorts of ideas like, the Kessel Run's like this path between a bunch of black holes. So mm-hmm. the closer you get to the black holes, the shorter your trek is, but the more dangerous it is, which is sort of the way they took this. In a way.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's
so they jumped out of like a wormhole or something like that.
Right. So like that's been one of the long running theories. This finally put it to bed of like, the Kessel Run is now like this nebulous cloud where there is like a safe path through that has been plotted, and if you stray from it, you will probably die.
And the shortest distance so far is 12 parsecs.
Yes.
Okay.
That someone has survived going through it. Well, more than that, but he rounds down.
A lot of people take like 800 parsecs, and you're like, that's nothing to be.
Yeah, come on.
Everyone can do that in their sleep.
Yeah.
Doing the 12 parsecs.
That's at like the top of the leaderboard.
Now you got a Star Wars story. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was their way of explaining why he was bragging about traveling a short distance as his way of being like,
the giant octopus, though.
That's the biggest monster in Star Wars that we've seen so far.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a monster.
It's humongo.
I want to see that thing fight a freaking Death Star.
Well, it's dead.
You think that's the only one?
Well, maybe not. Probably not.
That didn't take much convincing.
You're
right away.
Biology.
Yeah, it's got to have a mama and a dada, right? Where's that thing coming from?
It just appeared.
You know, Cloud Cthulhu just hanging out in there. He's like, oh, hey, this is a ship. Hey, guys.
So L3 dies on Kessel, but she gets put into the ship's computer because she has a bunch of navigation memory banks or whatever.
Yeah, she has a computer database.
And the scene that made me kind of like get upright in my seat and get on board was when the Millennium Falcon gets off of Kessel and for the first time a Star Destroyer looks scary.
Oh man.
In one of these films.
Yeah, it's just hanging.
It's just hanging out right in the middle of where they need to go.
The tunnel. Yeah. That was real cool.
Star Destroyers have been getting just like beat up from like episode 7 and 8. They're like, there's a ship that just go through them like paper now. And for the first time, I'm like, this is what I've been missing. This used to frighten me as a kid. Episode 4, when that thing's flying past the credits, it's so big and frightening.
Yeah.
And finally, it gets its moment again.
Mm-hmm. That was a really cool looking bit.
It's like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park when it comes back in Jurassic World and it looks cool again.
Yeah.
I was happy for that to happen.
It's like when Mike Myers just appears out of nowhere and you're like, oh, crap.
This
guy's
going
to kill somebody.
Austin Powers?
Michael Myers.
Oh, man.
Throwback to Baby Driver.
Yeah. Should we shag now or shag later?
Oh, boy. Was that Baby Driver?
That was Austin Powers, a National Man of Mystery.
Oh, okay.
I was...
So that squid... No, don't get off the squid
so
yet.
We're talking about the squid
still?
It's
my favorite part of the movie.
When the squid gets its face ripped off by the black hole?
When the entire skin of it gets pulled off into the black hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that thing's been living up in that Kessel Run for I don't know how long.
Who knows how old that thing is.
Living in a box.
And it just made a mistake. It got too hungry for that Millennium Falcon. Probably thought it was a delicious worm or something that was going to eat.
It was like, I'm going to get you. Oh,
and it didn't get him.
Yeah, is there food back there? How does that thing eat? Is there food in like an asteroid belt?
It has to eat a lot of whatever it's eating.
Yeah, it's huge.
Who knows what that thing eats? Maybe
that could be an ancient god of Star Wars.
Maybe it's like a whale. It eats a little space krill flying through the nebula.
Yeah, it could be.
Oh, man. It was not a fan of that Millennium Falcon, though.
It really wanted to destroy that ship.
Didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And they juked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They did.
As we used to say back in middle school.
Oh, yeah.
They rode it close to that black hole, and then...
And they do such a good, like, Fast and Furious bit.
Their stakes
to escape.
In this scene.
Like, where they're like, if we put one drop of special hyper fuel in our engine, our car's gonna go faster than Vin Diesel's, and we're gonna win.
Yeah.
1 ounce of Golden Schwartz is going to go into the engine.
It cracked me up. Like, it's so goofy, but at the same time, I was like, yeah, this is what I'm here for. This
makes
is fun.
Sense.
Yeah, who cares? Like, oh, this
That's
is
what
just
I was
fun
saying.
Stuff.
As soon as I saw that Star Destroyer, I was like excited for this action sequence that was going to happen.
It was good.
I was kind of just going through the motions this whole time because it was stuff I'd already seen before. I've seen train heists. I've seen the war battle stuff. That the beginning was like Papers, Please. I played enough of that game to know that part was a thing.
Yeah.
I finally saw something new in a Star Wars movie.
Yep. I thought they did good. I thought they did a pretty good job of callbacks and references. I feel like some of the other Star Wars films have done too much where they linger on things too long. And you're like, ugh, now everyone's like, oh, it must be a thing.
Yeah.
Like when Rogue One, when they bump into the two guys that threaten Luke in the bar in episode 4 or whatever, and the camera lingers on them as they walk away. And you're like, no, come on.
It's like pointing it out.
Don't want, hey, let us look have here. The Easter eggs.
There was a few in this that like I didn't need or care for.
Apparently there's a lot of stuff in Paul Bettany's office that was like references that I didn't know.
Yes.
About.
Like there's definitely some like Boba Fett looking armor in there. And then there's a couple of things on the shelves.
Where would I know that guy from?
Paul Bettany?
Yeah, his face looks very familiar.
He's Vision in, so many in the new things. Marvel movies.
You haven't seen any of those. You know him from
he's a Master and Commander. He's the voice of Jarvis in Iron Man.
What about the Tom Hanks movie where he's looking through the Da Vinci Code? What about
do you watch movies, Andy? That might help.
No, we need I've never to seen this
oh,
guy.
Okay. You know,
he's married to Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, right, duh.
That's where you know him from.
Yep, no, yep.
You were at that wedding.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you get Us Weekly every weekly.
Uh-huh. It's a never-ending story.
Oh. I'll keep renewing the subscription for you.
Oh, man. But yeah, overall, there were only a few things I didn't care for. The way they gave him a name was dumb. Why couldn't he just be Han Solo?
I don't have a last name.
I don't have oh, okay, I'll just make one up. Gotcha.
But 20 Solo. Seconds go by, he's looking at a computer, looking at Han.
It was too long.
We didn't need
How
that.
How about
no.
Solo?
Why can't his name just be Han Solo? Why does he be like...
John Singleman.
Han Singleman.
Why'd you change my first name?
Yeah. I'm Terry No Parents. And
I don't want that name.
Nobody loves me.
That and the Chewy bit where he's like, your name's Chewbacca. Okay, that's too long.
Big old fatty question.
Yeah.
So Han Solo gets caught by the Imperial whatevers for being a deserter.
Yeah.
Yep.
He gets thrown in a jail.
Yep.
To presumably be eaten by a monster.
Yeah.
Do Wookiees eat human flesh?
Why not? Why not? I mean, Chewbacca likes meat. That's established in episode 6 when he falls in that trap.
Oh, and he eats all those porgs.
Oh, that too. Yeah, he kills and roasts a porg.
He did eat a porg.
So
Well, no, he didn't eat the porg, but he tried to. He wasn't able to.
Wookiees actively eating people?
I mean, they did say. I mean, when you're hungry, they said they hadn't fed him in like a week.
Yeah,
if you're that hungry, of course you're gonna be eating people. Why not?
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
I'd eat a person that long. Look at me. I can't go a week. I'd be like, nope, now it's time for people.
You've gone 3 hours, and I think you're looking at me, and I turn into a cartoon steak.
Yes,
mistaken.
That's exactly what's happening.
The Donner Party waited months, but Andy only waited a couple hours.
Yeah, that's all I need.
Well, they got a little hungry, and it was just
I'm like, we'll never make it. We might as well start now.
I only had that pad thai for lunch. What about dinner?
What other creatures in the Star Wars universe are eating people, I guess what I'm saying.
That Yeti thing.
The ice
monster, the Rancor.
I've already forgotten what the Jar Jar Binks race is. Is he eating people?
Gungans
are the squid guys. The calamari, are they eating people?
Oh, who knows? That's quite a good question.
Is that giant squid related to the calamari? Is it their god or something? Did it make them? I got a lot of questions.
I was like, you're getting into like pictures on a bulletin board kind of levels here.
I know.
You're like,
well, I saw A Quiet Place, and now I'm just filling out bulletin boards with very obvious ideas on them.
We have not talked almost at all yet about Donald Glover's performance.
Yeah, I liked it.
Don Glover?
I know it's a little campy, but I think he was doing that intentionally.
I feel like he's looking at the camera every time he delivers a line.
Yeah.
I feel like he's selling us Colt 45 in every scene. Like, that's his motivation.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job. I've heard people say that they thought he didn't bring enough uniqueness, I guess. He was just doing almost a straight-out
Billy
D.
His character was underwritten.
Why it's not unique.
That's exactly
I think. He's not doing anything throughout the entire movie.
We kind of just skip over all the backstories of all these characters.
I wanted more. I mean, I said when they announced that he'd be playing Lando that I was like, I don't even want the Solo movie anymore. I just want Lando, A Star Wars Story. It's what I want. And
he'll probably do it.
Doesn't evolve. I feel like he's Lando when we meet him.
Yes.
He's the same Lando in episode 6.
Yeah, so that's why it's not Lando, A Star Wars Story.
I bet they're going to do a Lando movie.
But
He didn't start like bad at anything.
No.
And get good. Mm-hmm. He just like fell in love with some robots and
yeah.
I want to see his.
He
like,
wasn't, but he wasn't a. He wasn't even like a secondary character. He was just like in the background.
If we're going to do a rewrite on Lando, the Millennium Falcon's got some issues. He's saving up for repairs.
Yeah.
He's short on his
money. Well, he had it impounded, too.
I really like that bit where they go and he's like, oh, I keep my ship over here. And it's got like a boot, like a spaceship boot.
Should have been implied more that he's like good. Maybe poor or in a lot of debt, because right away he gets on board with going with them for the money.
Well, they show that when his ship is impounded. Like, that's the clearly they're like, oh, he clearly doesn't have anything. Well, and, like, he explains, and it's established in the original Star Wars, too, that, like, he tends to just get involved with bad deals all the time.
Like in Back to the Future, when that janitor gets the idea from Marty to become Mayor Gordy Wilson. I needed a moment with Lando. It's like, one day I'm going to own that cloud city up there. I'm going to be running
city,
that place.
You say?
They did. Well, I think there is actually kind of a reference in that when they're talking about going to Kessel or whatever. He's just like, they land there and he's like, Lando gets out and he's just like, ugh, I hate mining colonies, which is exactly what Cloud City is. A bit of a joke there. So you're like, haha, you're going to end up running one.
They're
but it's
mining
a nice clean
the clouds?
One. Yeah, they
yeah,
mine.
What were they
what's
mining?
What's going on there?
Thespian gas?
Thespian gas?
Isn't that
Thespian
StarCraft?
Gas. Yeah, that is StarCraft. No.
Thespian
gas is what they're mining, which is like all the clouds. That's why it's Cloud City, is because they're like sucking up those clouds in a giant vacuum.
Oh, okay.
And selling Dyson. It for money.
Is a Cloud City a place or is it a thing? Are there lots of Cloud Cities?
That's a good question.
Well, you fall off those cities, because remember, Luke is like on the bottom of one of them.
Is Cloud City orbiting another planet? It's orbiting a gas planet, I'd assume.
It might just be a
there
gas
might be planet way
itself.
Down there. I don't actually know.
A
I
gas
feel like
planet.
I'm sure there's Star Wars nerds better than me that do know, for sure.
Yeah, and they don't need to.
No. Exactly.
No.
You don't need to
there's
know.
There's like sunshine outside, guys. Go out there.
Are you sure?
Take a peek.
That doesn't sound
no
like
one
fun.
Plays with their
no
friends pass. Anymore.
Pass.
Spend all the time watching these Star Wars movies. Oh. Talking about it on a podcast.
This is a movie.
Listen to it on a podcast.
Listen to your own podcast.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
Like, oh, we got three listens.
Oh, yeah. And they're all me.
Yeah.
This is a movie I don't know how well it's going to hold up to repeated screenings.
Yeah.
Movies,
I don't think I want to see it again.
Which is the
fine.
Movie I want to see most again out of all the new ones.
I don't know if I want to watch this again.
Because I think they're going to change it too. They might add or delete some stuff because they have just so much footage left over.
I was surprised. I didn't feel.
They could just use it for the sequel?
Probably.
I
was surprised how little I felt any Lord and Miller in this movie. I thought
there was a couple of jokey
things. I thought
it
was going to be clearly like, ooh, that's original. Ooh, that's reshoot. But. I don't know if it's a testament to their editor, who has worked on a million things. I was looking him up. Or if it's Ron Howard's ability as a director, or simply just, you know, they were able to save it in the reshoots in general.
So there are scenes in this movie that are reminiscent of Ron Howard's earlier 80s film, Willow, one of my favorite movies ever.
I think you talked about one of our previous Star Wars episodes.
In particular, while they're getting away from those underground dweller people in that little... craft thing or whatever.
Oh yeah,
there's like a whole chase scene where like they're getting
Peter Dinklage
around
was in
pushed
it,
pushed around.
In
Peter Dinklage, yeah.
Okay,
Warwick Davis.
Oh, in this movie or in Willow? What are we talking about here?
Warwick Davis is in this.
Yeah,
he's also in
Willow.
He's also in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's in a scene in this because he played the original Ewok in Return of the Jedi when he was a kid.
Okay,
and he got cast as Willow like right after that. Ron Howard's like, this kid's got it. And Willow got made.
I think it was a George Lucas produced movie. And
it was. That's why we mentioned it in one of the previous Star Wars episodes.
Also, a little teaser. I think we're going to be doing an episode where I'm going to be telling you guys about movies that I've seen and really like. And the first one I think is going to be Willow.
Oh, that's a teaser for us.
Teaser for you
that's
and
good.
The listeners.
I have not seen
podcast.
This Willow. I know zero about it.
I'm excited to explain it to you in great detail.
I assume it's about a tree.
Andy has not seen this Willow.
No.
Willow and the Weeds. Our engineer loves Willow. He gave us a big thumbs up.
It's good. It's good.
Look at that Mad Mardigan life he's living over there.
I know nothing about
it.
I can't wait
any
for
of
you.
My references.
I can't wait for you to explain it to me.
Alora Dannon. You don't know what those words
mean.
Right,
what is that?
It's gibberish to you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good scene.
I can wait outside. You guys just want to talk about Willow?
No, I've never seen it.
So, yeah, this is sort of the inverse of Last Jedi, where it's a movie I think that got. I liked it more every time I saw it. Like I was like, it's all right when I saw it the first time after like multiple viewings. I really like Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. This movie is one where I really
How
liked it the first
have you
time.
Seen it?
What, Last Jedi?
Yeah.
Four?
Ooh.
Oh. Whoa. You saw it on a cruise, though, or something like that, right?
No, I just I watched it.
It.
It's really good, yeah. And I will fight you about it.
During his wedding,
did you watch it on your phone?
On his birthday,
no. It's really good. But this movie is one I saw once. I don't know if I want to watch it again because I don't think it's.
Again.
I think I'm going to find too many things to pick apart if I watch it.
Plus,
more
if they
times.
Just add scenes, I'm just going to be curious.
Yeah, I wasn't really crazy.
Well,
I mean,
I'm
like
a little Robo
I think it's
curious,
a good movie,
like Lando was.
And the acting is great. Many of the actors are great.
I love this.
But I don't really know if I need to see it.
Heinrich. He's good.
Handel Elrich.
People were dogging on him because they like for a while he wasn't giving any lines in the trailers for this coming out because everyone thought his acting was bad. But he was great.
Well, and this poor guy. This poor guy was never going to like manage to somehow get any kind of universal acclaim because there's always going to be those.
He got Brandon Routh.
He's not Han Solo.
He got Brandon Routh.
It's like
he got Hayden Christensen.
Yeah,
ooh.
You know.
You're like, come on, guy.
This guy's a good actor, though.
He is.
I thought he did the job that he definitely should have done. I thought he was a great choice.
He did his Jabba?
Yeah.
Lead it to at the end. Little teaser, Jabba the Hutt's coming back, guys.
They mentioned that.
I think there's going to be some sort of gangster and Tatooine.
Yeah.
As, like, Woody Harrelson puts his monocle on and adjusts it.
Yeah.
You guys know about this gangster I'm talking about?
And we're in the audience like, I do know! I got it!
We're not saying the name because we're being coy.
Got him.
It rhymes with Baba the Fuh.
Oh, no.
Wait, just say his name if you're going that far.
Yeah.
That's worse somehow. Baba the Fuh.
Classic. That's classic Star Wars.
it could be a Star Wars name,
George.
All I know.
George, let's maybe change that name.
Yeah, let's keep it.
Baba the Fuh.
Oh man.
Is there a Boba the Fett tea? Boba tea? I bet there's gotta be, right?
Oh, if there's not, that's a big misstep. Disney, you can have that one for free.
Boba tea?
You don't know what boba is? Bubble tea?
Like bubble tea?
Boba noodles? Oh, yeah. Or the boba noodles, the things in the.
Boba noodles? I've never
No,
heard
I
that.
Was. That's not a thing. I said two words together that are not.
Oh. I was like, what's boba noodles?
Boba, I don't know.
You went to a good ramen place?
I'm still thinking about that pad thai I had for
lunch.
Did
someone feed you a shake full of noodles?
No.
Whoa. A spaghetti shake? I
gotta get those carbs somehow.
You know what? Spaghetti, if it came in a cup, that might not be so bad. It'd be like you hold it and you got a fork, it goes all the way to the bottom of the thing. Hey, come on.
Dude, a
cup
in
of spaghetti.
A sippy cup.
Yeah, you could drink it. You want to put some marinara sauce at the end of it?
Call it cup of spaghetti.
There's meatballs hidden in there.
It's the worst food delivery service ever. Door to door cup of spaghetti.
It just can't be hot. You got to keep it in an insulated container somehow. That's the one thing.
Oh, okay.
You can easily just heat that up again. That'd be great. Like a cup of noodles, but a cup of spaghetti.
I'm pretty sure they make that, Brad. I'm pretty sure, like, ravioli or something. Like, already makes this.
Ravioli is just the name of the food.
Or the Chef Boyardee.
It's almost like the idea It's almost like the idea behind cup noodles.
Yeah.
But spaghetti, it'd be great.
I don't know if it's something new.
Yeah. We could have used some Star
Wars
food
in
this movie.
Let's get on Shark Tank. We'll get on.
Yeah.
What were they eating during their downtime? We never found out.
We didn't get any fun, colorful milks.
Oof. Could have been some Wookiee meat for all I know.
Whoa, Brad.
Hey,
come
if they're eating us,
no,
I'm eating them.
No.
If they're eating us, I'm eating them.
Nobody ate anybody.
That's why they call him Chewie. Boy.
No, boy, yo.
Chewbacca was skinny.
I will say he, Han Solo.
Talking about the movie again, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
Yeah, I will say Han Solo didn't understand Chewbacca. But literally by the next scene, he
knew
everything.
He said he knew some
Chewbacca. He was rusty in his. It's called Treewook. It's Treewook.
I don't
want to
know
that's what it's called.
It went in one ear and out
which,
the other.
It
yeah,
seems silly
that.
Because I feel like Treewook is made up of a bunch of sounds that Wookiees can't make, which seems. Why would they call
which
it
that?
Why
that
is
scene
that the name?
Seemed very silly.
Well.
Because Han has never done that before. He never, like, spoke, like, whatever that language is back at him.
Well, oh, I guess.
So that
he didn't have
that was kind of weird.
He didn't have
he
to.
Did in this movie,
he
though.
Didn't have
he
to.
Did,
well,
he did
for a half
noises.
A second, yeah.
They shower together in this movie.
Yeah, which was sensual.
That's when you, that's when you're...
I mean, who needs a loofah when you just get a Wookiee
that's
shower?
True.
Cover him with soap and give him a big hug.
Mm-hmm. Probably full of fleas. Yeah. But he was speaking back to him in that Wookiee language.
Because he just met him. If you meet a strange Wookiee, I would assume, you know.
I kept on trying to figure out the moment where the Wookiee life debt would have came into play.
I was surprised they never explicitly mentioned
it. Yeah. He kind of saves him from that jail and then kind of saves him on the train.
Yeah, and that's why it almost made me think of, like, if the life debt bit is still canon, because I don't know if that was ever in anything that didn't get kicked out when Disney took over.
Episode 4.
Did they mention the life debt?
Yeah, episode 4. I'm pretty positive.
I don't remember it. I don't know.
He owes me a life debt. And okay. Then he goes, rah.
I've never seen that movie, so I can't tell you.
Spot on.
That's spot on. It's really good.
No effort.
There's an old Chewbacca in the movie. Old Wookiee. It's hanging out on Kessel.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. There was a couple.
Oh, and the mine
that
place.
That makeup on that thing was bad.
Yeah, it was like from the Halloween Party City, whatever.
It looked like they took some like old like original Planet of the Apes costume and turned it into a Wookiee costume.
You ever seen Troll 2? It's like there's two trolls that look great, and then the rest of them are wearing like full flattened plastic masks.
Spent all the money on those two masks.
They ran out quick.
We only had enough for one good Wookiee.
We need like seven trolls.
Oh my gosh. Why did we put so many trolls in our movie? We didn't think this through.
It's called Troll 2. We could have just done two.
Was it supposed to be like his dad or is are they all related somehow?
Well, it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it had to be or if it was just like they, you know, they're like, hey, you're a Wookiee, I'm a Wookiee, that's cool.
Yeah, that's what I felt. Because when he saw all those Wookiees being attacked, he was like, hey, they're my people, I gotta go help them.
Yeah,
And he explicitly states to Han
I'm doing it.
Yeah, he's like, I mean, the Empire basically imprisoned all Wookiees. Of course I'm hanging out with you. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, because they helped the Jedi
mm-hmm.
at the end of episode 3.
Oh right.
Those poor Wookiees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Save Yoda, though.
It's true.
That was a Wookiee mistake.
No, that's a Brad joke. I love it. Brad, you've been replaced. Get out.
I was looking for something. All I was getting was like Wookiee Woodbine. That's all I was like.
Wookiee Phoenix?
I couldn't figure out how to like, needle it in there.
Ooh, and you beat that was it. Real good. Real good.
Oh,
man.
But yeah.
Just reiterating. The things that are new to this movie and I'm excited about.
Yeah.
Coaxium.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Enfys Nest.
What's that?
That's the Maya Rudolph lady.
Oh, yeah,
There's a whole group of people coming out.
Yes.
We got the robot rights thing brought up for the first time ever.
That was fun.
Got the Crimson
Dawn. I thought I was cashing in on
Crimson
Dawn.
Secret. They're probably even involved with the Empire. They're like an offshoot of it or something.
See, like,
maybe they're working with the Empire. We don't know. We'll find out in the Obi-Wan movie.
That to me, like for me, I read too many of the books. Like these criminal syndicates are like a big thing in a bunch of the books. And so I was sort of like, okay. I assumed it was actually one of the ones that already existed. I guess it's a new one, but which is fine. I think that's cool. But I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
And I love that Han Solo movies, his thing is like monsters are in his story.
Yeah.
There's like the dog creatures in the beginning.
Yep.
He's got that squid monster. We're talking about episode 4 or or 5 when he's in that pit with that giant worm.
Yeah.
Love that
scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When it tries. His ship keeps trying to get eaten by monsters.
When he shoots the Minox.
Yeah.
Off when they're inside of a thing.
When they're hiding in the asteroid.
Han Solo's thing is like monsters. There's a thing there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great creature effects in this movie. A lot of nice practical-looking things that aren't
Wookiean. They found the right formula. I think like Abrams set the right bar when
Dogs.
Yeah, bringing back all these. The alien races have been looking really cool in every film they made recently, where it's like they do these really cool costumes of these aliens that are just great. Mm-hmm. And I love everyone.
I want to see an alien race underneath one of those stormtrooper costumes at some point in the Star Wars universe.
How great
would that be?
That is not how the Empire works, Brad.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Empire is humans only. That's kind of one of their big reasons.
I want to see
cool.
some like, oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
There's robots, too. Well, there's some robots in them, but they're all probably, not doing off well.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see the kickoff. It seemed like the kickoff to the Marvelverse. We got a lot of stuff set up. Got that Obi-Wan thing. Got the Boba Fett. There's
growing that.
There's space in between this movie and
I'm like 99%
Rogue
sure the reason they brought Darth Maul in at the end of this because that's going to be the Kenobi movie.
So
two of them squaring off again.
He's going to
get cut in half the other way at the end of that one. That's calling it now. We'll bring it back and then we do that episode.
Are you excited to see the Obi-Wan?
What if he gets cut off in the same way?
That'd be all right. I could see that a 50%
win. He's like, this isn't a big deal. I've
been here before. You think I don't know what to do about this? Brad, I will ask, because we asked that question last time.
Okay, so let's think about an Obi-Wan movie.
Are you excited about the Kenobi movie?
So he's got to end up on Tatooine somehow at the end of that film.
Yeah.
You'd assume. Mm-hmm. He's got sweet Jedi robes. And he's probably working undercover because Jedis aren't a thing.
Yep.
They're super secret. I don't think he meets Han Solo because he would have recognized him in that cantina on Tatooine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking he's working with Kira somehow. Infiltrated. Maybe he even knows about Darth Maul's existence.
Maybe.
He's double dipping.
That could be really
triple
cool.
Triple slipping.
Okay. All cool ideas. I'm fine with them.
That could be really cool. Like, Obi-Wan is still kind of following Darth Maul, and...
Jabba the Hutt could interact with Obi-Wan, because they never really... Because
my understanding is, like, Darth Maul is in the Clone Wars TV series. Like, he comes back. That's where they establish, like, his robo-legs and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, like, this long thing where basically his hatred of Obi-Wan is what kept him alive, and he built the robot legs, and he's been just trying to get revenge on Obi-Wan forever and ever. And that's been, like, the long drive. And I actually really like that your go-to was the reverse, where it's Obi-Wan hunting Maul. I like this idea.
That'd be great.
And I think that'd be really cool.
We also could get some Yoda mixed up in here,
because
he could hang out with fight Darth Maul.
That's true.
It's fine. They can team up. Obi-Wan's like, I need more training, or I need a partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's also played by Mickey Rourke in my version. I've got to go get Yoda. We're going to take the streets and make him run red with blood.
That'd be amazing. I want that movie so bad right now.
Kenobi.
I was excited for you.
Obi, are you drunk?
Oh, man.
Always.
What happened to you, man?
Boxing.
That Order 66 messed you up.
In more ways than one. I lost my Maul as well.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. But now we know that Rey is not a Kenobi.
When they make Obi-Wan, I'll redo all of his lyrics and that, all of his voice lines in that.
Nice.
And you can watch that movie.
Redub it.
We gotta get Yoda.
It's like a 70s that's almost like 70s
a,
movie.
Right. It's almost trailer. Like a Ben Affleck Batman.
Thanks
too.
For listening to our podcast. We're What Remember. We have a website, whatremember.com. It's our SoundCloud where you can find all of our episodes. We're talking movies you haven't seen in a long time.
Get on there and tell us what you thought about Solo.
Yeah, that do that too. We got Twitter, twitter.com/whatremember, facebook.com/whatremember. Next movie coming out is going to be Land Before Time. We got new segments of the show called Andy Loves Chips, and we're talking about chips. We got a big Cheetos controversy brewing in the mix right now.
Yep.
We rewrite movies, and we also have a Patreon if you want to support our podcast monetarily. It's patreon.com/whatremember. Thank you to Podcast Detroit for having us.